Well, good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Janice P.M. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Well, today is Thursday. It is July 20, 2023. Next, today we are reading from the Big Book and we are at page 95, paragraph 1. Which begins with, unless your friend wants to talk further about himself, and then it continues to the last sentence, tell him, quote, that if he wants to get well, that you will do anything to help him. Okay, and our readers this morning for the 12 steps was Jan S. For the 12 traditions, a Jen P. And our readers this morning are Robin P. will be our first reader. Sherry V. will read in the closing of 164. And Kara L. will be our backup. Now, our newcomer greeter and sponsor taking names will be Jody E. And announcements will be Leslie M. Now, here are a couple of reference numbers for 2 days, which is share IDs. We call them share IDs. And for Wednesday, which was yesterday, 7/19/2023, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 20,458. That's 20458. And this morning, July 20th, 2023, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 20,460. That's 20460. Now, as Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. Now, OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Now, our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. And at a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of 12 steps. Pardon me. I'm going to take a sip of water. 12 traditions. Sorry. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested in its program of recovery. I will now ask Jan S. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning. This is Jan S. in Southern California. Here are the steps we took. 1, we admitted we were powerless over alcoholic foods, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed, and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
And thank you so much, Janice, for reading our 12 Steps of OA. I will now ask Jen P. to please read the 12 Traditions of OA.
Good morning, Janice. Thank you so much for your service. This is Jen P. from New Jersey, reading the 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. I'll pass.
And thank you so much, Jen P., for reading our 12 traditions. Now, this is how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Now, our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. Now, to share, please press *1 to unmute. Now, once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press *1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Well, today we're going to resume our study in the Big Book on page 95, paragraph 1, which begins, unless your friend wants to talk further about himself. And we're going to ask Robin P. to please start reading for us.
Thank you. Hi, this is Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater currently in Nashville, Tennessee. Unless your friend wants to talk further about himself, do not wear out your welcome. give him a chance to think it over. If you do stay, let him steer the conversation in any direction he likes. Sometimes a new man is anxious to proceed at once, and you may be tempted to let him do so. This is sometimes a mistake. If he has trouble later, he's likely to say you rushed him. You will be most successful with alcoholics if you do not exhibit any passion for crusade or reform. Never talk down to an alcoholic from any moral or spiritual hilltop. Simply lay out the kit of spiritual tools for his inspection. Show him how they worked for you. Offer him friendship and fellowship. Tell him that if he wants to get well, you'll do anything to help. I'm so grateful for the tools and the instructions, and it's just such a God-given manual. I really believe that this was given to us by God. And so it's so important for me when I'm working with someone to just, it's about them and their recovery, you know, and that I just get to, I have 2 ears, 1 mouth. I get to listen twice as much as I talk, and I just get to be, I am not going to carry this compulsive overeater. It's never worked when I've tried. If I want it more than they want it, it never works. I just get to carry the message and not carry the person. And, you know, as long as I stay abstinent through the process, you know, I heard somebody once say to me that there's nothing you can say to make somebody stay abstinent, and there's nothing you can say to ruin their recovery either. You know, we're all, you know, just instruments of peace. We're all just carrying the message and doing the best we can one day at a time. And, you know, I always ask people when I'm working with them, are you willing to go to any length to recover? That's what I was asked. And, you know, and I asked them to pray about it. And, you know, it's sad to me that some people come back and say they don't feel like they're ready. And I feel like that should be their bottom, but it isn't. You know, like, hey, are you kidding? Wow, that's not your bottom. Okay. I just say, go pray to his bottom. Pray to his bottom. Because we have to be desperate enough to be willing to go to any lengths to recover. And, you know, pray for the willingness to live in the steps and to be an instrument of peace to God and the fellows. And, you know, it's just one day at a time, one step at a time. And I just get to keep practicing. And all I can do is be a role model and also pray for guidance and just do the best I can. I'm really grateful that I know that I'm not responsible for someone else's recovery. And I'm also really grateful that I get to be, that God uses me to help people. So God bless everybody with a really blessed abstinent day. Thanks so much, Janice, and everyone who makes this meeting possible. I pass.
And thank you for being on time and everything. Robin T. Okay, I'm ready to take some names, and these are just what, you know, I would request that you say your name, the first initial of your last name, and when you share, give the state that you're from, and then I'll repeat it when you finish, okay? So who would like to be the first to step up and share on page 95, paragraph 1?
Hi, I'm Marilyn from California.
Okay. What's your first initial of your last name?
Oh, S.
That's
I'm
okay.
So sorry.
No problem. Marilyn, what? S or F?
S as in Sam.
Got it. Thank you, Marilyn. Who'd like to go next? I'll take a few names. Star 1 to unmute. I know we have more shares to come. Well, maybe I don't know.
Barbara A., California.
Okay, Barbara, thank you. Barbara, what's your first initial of your last name?
Leslie M.
Leslie M., okay. Barbara, what's the first initial of your last name? Because there's a few Barbaras on the list. Members. All right, you can say it when you share. After Leslie M., who would like to share? One more? All right. How about if we go with Marilyn S? It's your turn, Marilyn.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Marilyn, and I am a compulsive overeater. And what this paragraph makes me think of is the excitement of having this program in the beginning, especially. You know, the compulsive overeater who's coming to talk to the person who is still sick. I remember in the very beginning, I just wanted to tell everybody because I had never heard or seen anything like this before. I came in to program looking for a diet and a scale, had no idea what 12 steps was, heard it was free. And when I read this, I just think about the person having to control themselves about the program, because it does work if I work it. And there was no other things that worked, you know. It says, show him how they worked for you. And tell him if he wants to get well, you will do anything to help. And I remember that feeling so well. You know, I'm not doing very well right now, but I'm just showing up to the meeting. And sometimes I do feel like a newcomer. But I just love this because it just makes me think about that excitement of hope when you come into this program and get abstinent. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you for letting me share.
I'm sorry, Marilyn, where are you from, Marilyn S?
California.
Okay, hon. Thank you. Thank you so much for your share. Now we have Barbara. I don't have the first initial of your last name. If you could tell me that, Barbara.
Yes, this is Barbara A. from California.
All right, Barbara. It's your turn, hon. Go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you for your service. I was reading over the paragraph and listening to the shares. I don't know if I've ever told my sponsee, are you willing to do anything? And I'm going to proceed with that question when I talk to them next. I think that I was willing to do anything. I've maintained some abstinence, and I'm sponsoring now for the first time in this program, you know, for the past couple of months. And I'm grateful for the instruction I got. And I'm grateful to read this book paragraph by paragraph to learn that you know, all the things that I've learned and I'm sharing with my sponsee. But honestly, have I asked my sponsee, are you willing to do anything? I'm going to keep that in mind and talk with them about that. And never talking down to a person. I know in my life that I've come from a place of talking down to people and being superior and righteous. And in this program, working with someone, I'm really learning they are helping me as much as I am there for them. They are teaching me every day about my disease, about my behavior, about how to recover. Sometimes when I talk with people, I've talked with them, they've wanted to direct the sponsoring the way they want to do it. And I listened for a while, and maybe that's why I'd never asked, are you willing to do anything? Because some people still want to do it their way. And I did that for 25 years and got me nowhere. So I'm grateful to share today. I'm grateful to be on the line. Thank you for providing this space and this meeting. And I will pass.
And thank you so much. That was Barbara A. from California. Okay, now we have Leslie M. And Leslie M., please go ahead.
Good morning, Janice. Thank you for your service.
I am Leslie M., a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. And a bunch of stuff in this paragraph, it's a huge paragraph, a bunch of stuff talks to me. It says here, never talk down to an alcoholic from any moral or spiritual hilltop. And, you know, when I first started sponsoring, I absolutely did that. You know, I had to learn the hard way that that wasn't the way to take care of it. I have learned that now. You know, I can lay out this kit of spiritual tools for his inspection. You know, I found that that's the only way. You know, that this isn't, you know, that all of this is an inside job. And, you know, I'm the only one that can do the work for myself, as is the sponsee. You know, I can certainly shine the light. I can tell them what's worked for me. However, unless they're willing to pick up this toolkit, there isn't a whole lot else I can do. You know, I can offer to be friends. I can offer that fellowship. Sure, call me anytime. You know, I'll be happy to speak with you. But, you know, I have to remember that, you know, the reason that I sponsor, and I do this as much as I remember, is I always thank my sponsees for allowing me to do this work with them, because this keeps me in the book. It keeps me in recovery. It keeps me abstinent. So I'm grateful for that. You know, it says, show him how they worked with you. You know, I can, you know, I have story after story of the wonderful things that have happened in my life. And I know that the only reason that they're happening is because I'm abstinent and recovered. You know, that if I were still back in the food, that most of the things, wonderful things that I have in my life today would probably not be here, because I was a totally different person. You know, so I'm grateful to do that. But, you know, that, you know, it says at the end, and that you will do anything to help. I would do anything to help people. But I personally had to learn as a sponsor that I'm not responsible for the sponsee's abstinence or their recovery. I can just, you know, shine the light and show them what I've done. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Leslie M. That was Leslie M. from New York. Okay, I'm ready to take more names. Please give me your name, your first initial of your last name, and when you share, you can give me your state. Who would like to go next?
Liz A. from California.
Okay, Liz, thank you. And anyone else? Who would like to be next? Star one to unmute.
Rocky.
I'm sorry?
In Tempe. Rocky in Tempe, Arizona.
Is it Rocky? Spell your first name, dear. Can you spell your first name? Maybe we can come back to her if there's anybody
Paige
else.
P. Paige P. from Louisiana.
That's Paige, P-A-G-E.
No, ma'am. Sage like the spice. S is in Sam.
Geez, I still didn't get it. What's the matter with me? Again. Like, what spice? Say your name again, please.
Sage. S is in Sam.
Got it. Very nice. That's the spice. Sage S. And somebody else after Sage.
Crystal R.
Crystal. Okay. Crystal R. All right, we can take one more. Well, maybe three is the magic number today. So Liz A. from California. Let's go, Liz.
Liz A., California. May I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Okay. I, too, focused on this last part of the paragraph, never talk down to an alcoholic. You know, for me, humility is the key. I'm no better or no worse than they are. I could be where they are in 3 days, you know? And so it's really a level. You're talking to another compulsive overeater who's got the same disease that you've got. And all I can do is share my experience, strength, and hope. I can't, you know, talk the talk and not be related personally to what I'm saying. So I have to just share my experience. And one thing which I think is really important is do offer him friendship. I've heard speakers share that I tell them I'm not their friend, I'm just their sponsor. And that hardline approach does not work with me. I know I needed someone that I felt was a friend, and that's what I offer, you know. And I will help them if anything they need, you know, within my power. Obviously, I'm, you know, not going to give them $1 million or, you know, anything crazy, but I do offer to help and to be there and to be a sounding board for them. And for sure, I learn as much from them as they learn from me, because I never get to forget that bottom. I never get to forget what it was like for me. And I get to work the steps all over again, because when I ask my sponsee to do something, I do it at the same time. And that's the gift. That's the gift of this program. And with that, I will pass. Thank you for all your service.
And thank you for sharing, Liz A. That was Liz A. from California. Okay, we have Sage S. now. Please go ahead, Sage. It's your turn.
This is my first time sharing at this meeting, and I feel like I'm supposed to share every now and then because it's a challenge to myself. But I love this passage because, to me, where it talks about don't make them feel like there's a passion or a crusade or that I have some ulterior motive. I'm new to this program, and I've had two sponsors, and one of them is lovely. I'm still kind of working with her only because of my inability to do it more. And one of them, who's also a good lady, made me feel controlled and judged, and I think that's what this passage is trying to prevent. An instruction to not make anyone feel bad, how to love them and make it attractive, because the lady I'm currently working with does make me feel that way, that this is not just a crusade, that she actually cares about me as a person. And the getting started part I have found very hard. Step one I have found very hard, and so it's great to have kindness through that. And I think that's what Bill wanted to remind everybody of, or at least that's how I interpret this whole kind of chapter. This is how we should love people who are difficult to love, or this is how we should love people like me who are, you know, relying on something less than, something that's not as powerful as another source. And I think that's a reminder for me. I need to be humble always. I need to respond when I see humility in someone else. That's how I can tell it's the mark of this program and what this program really embodies. And I'm grateful when I get to see that, because it's just so lovely and feels warm in what I imagine my higher power wants me to feel. While I'm trying to change behaviors that are really hard to change or have him do that. So thank y'all for being here and letting me share.
And thank you. Don't hang up, Sage. Where are you from, dear?
Louisiana.
Okay. We welcome you home. We all welcome you home. We're so glad that you're here. Okay. Crystal R., it's your turn.
Good morning. This is Crystal R. from Toronto, recovered compulsive overeater from Toronto, Canada. And what I was what really stood out to me in this paragraph is two things. One is, don't wear out your welcome. And basically that tells me I need to stop talking at some point. And I never do that. Like once I start, I have so much to say and so many arguments and so many convincing stories. And I got to get it all out there because just that one more story is going to convince them and get them to do the thing that I think they need to do so that they're going to get recovered. And what this tells me is, number one, I need to stop talking. And number two, I need to let God do the talking. Because once I stop, once I've said my piece, I've shared what I have to offer, then it's up to God to come in and to change this person's heart or give them hope or whatever barrier it is that they're struggling with. Now it's up to God to come in and do that, because God is the only person that can actually change somebody's heart and mind. Because I know for me, God is the only person who's able to change my heart and mind. I remember my sponsor once said, we are the help until the real help arrives. So I am not the person that's going to make this person recover or convince them of anything or change their mind about anything. It is God that does that. I'm just the meager help until the real help arrives. And the second thing is about not sitting on a spiritual hilltop. I'm so grateful, you know, with my sponsors, like I've had just incredible sponsors with such amazing recovery, you know, and it's so easy to sort of admire them and put them up on a pedestal. And in our conversations, my sponsors have had to point out really hard truths to me. And I'm so grateful because they had to burst through my delusion and show me things about myself that I had to face up to, you know. But what I love is after every time they did that, my sponsor would always have this one line. She'd say, and how do I know that? And my response would always be, because you did it too. So every time she would point out something to me or we would discover something about the disease in me, it would be, well, how do I know that? Because I do, because you do it too. And because we had that understanding that anything she's highlighting to me or showing me or pointing out to me was coming from the place of, I've been there. I know it's awful to live like that. And that's why I'm helping you to see this so God can remove it from you just as he removed it from me. It just changes the whole conversation from a, oh my gosh, I'm an awful person, to almost sometimes laughing of like, oh my gosh, look at this disease. It's crazy that it does the same thing to all of us. And I'm so grateful because without that, it would have been very, very hard to recover. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
And thank you so much, Crystal R. from Canada. I'm just going to take a second to tell the people that just came in a little after the beginning that where we are, we're on page 95, paragraph 1, beginning with, unless your friend wants to talk further about himself, and it ends with, tell him that if he wants to get well, that you will do anything to help him. And who would like to share for 3 minutes? You people are really good about time. I appreciate that.
Larry G.
Larry, good morning. Larry G. And after Larry?
Betsy H.
Betsy H. Okay, Betsy. Anybody else? One more, if we could. We're going in threes today, it seems like, which is good. Anything is good. Larry, Betsy, anybody else? Okay, let's start. Larry G., please, it's your turn.
Oh, thank you, moderator. Larry G. from California. And I'm going to direct these words to the new member on this phone
mm-hmm.
call, and also the person who's in relapse. You know, this paragraph tells me, the words that Bill is using tells me that he has compassion for the alcoholic. He has compassion for the alcoholic. And we have in 12-step programs some mean mommy and daddy, some people who, you know, who don't have compassion. And if you're new to this program, you find someone like that, put your tennis shoes on and run. Find somebody who has compassion. Can you imagine the first 100 pioneers, the new member coming in saying, hey, I will only sponsor you if you drink beer, right? Or I will only work with you if you call me at 6:05 a.m. If you call me at 6:04 or 6:06, I won't talk to you. Well, I drive a truck at 6:05. I feed my family, or I drink all kinds of booze. Well, I can't work with you. And I've come across this in this program where, hey, you know, I'll sponsor you, but you got to be a vegan, or, you know, I'll sponsor, but you got to call me at 6:05. And when I respond to that, they say, well, you don't have the willingness. You don't have the willingness. If you have the willingness, call me. I mean, my heart is so wide open for the new person, because I was a new person, and I came to this program crushed, absolutely crushed. And I had so many kind people from Vision call me and just lift me up. And I had a really good sponsor in the beginning who was kind, but firm. You know, we don't have to treat the new person with kid gloves. Just treat the new person with kindness and compassion. Have good boundaries, you know. And also, as a sponsor, I don't take abuse anymore. I used to take it in big doses, right? I think one form of abuse is somebody who is defensive and argumentative. And how do I know that? Because I used to be defensive and argumentative. And my first two amends in Vision was to former sponsors who I was very argumentative and defensive. And today I've got a great sponsor. My sponsor is, I just find this person enlightened spiritually, is kind to me, but also draws a line. You know, it really lets me know when I'm getting off the path, and I need that. But also, because of my family of origin and just getting that crap kicked out of me as a young boy and a young adult, I also don't respond to that anymore as well. And so the new person you're coming in, find someone who's got compassion, but also find somebody that is not going to put up with, you know, your shenanigans either, because we're not going to get sober if we roll over our sponsors. Anyway, I'm in our 12-step programs, and I find myself, if I look, all the service I'm getting, I'm a new member,
okay.
A new member rep in these other members of the other groups, and I just love the new person so much, and I wish that you find someone today and begin working, get off the sidelines, and I pass. Thank you.
And thank you so much, Larry G. Now, just a reminder that, you know, don't leave after the Serenity Prayer, because you will be able, if you're new or relapsing, to give your name to a newcomer greeter, and you can get a sponsor, and you can be put on the member list. So just hold out, and around 10 or the hour, we'll start that for you. All right, Betsy H., thank you for holding. It's your turn.
Hi, this is Betsy H., recovered compulsive reader in California. I'm enjoying this paragraph and hearing people sharing about it. I like where it says that I'll be more successful if I don't exhibit a passion for crusade or reform. And it also talks about, you know, don't wear out your welcome. So I'm kind of getting from that, you know, don't push people too much. Everyone has to decide on their own if they are a compulsive reader and if they are going to do this 12-step program of recovery. And really, I don't feel all that qualified to tell people about the program, I don't feel like an expert, but the good thing is I don't have to be to sponsor someone to be in recovery. I just have to suit up and show up and just share. I can just say some simple things that are the truth for me, you know, about my experience, what has happened when was in the food, you know, what happened as I worked the steps while being abstinent. And it just says, you know, don't talk down to an alcoholic from any moral, spiritual hilltop. That's a good advice for me in every aspect of my life. The minute I do think that I'm so great and I'm so spiritual, you know, which my ego can tell me, or, you know, I'm doing such a great job that usually I'll have to eat crow really soon. Usually I make some kind of a mistake, or I realize, like, oh, wow, you know, my character defects came up and I was just yelling at someone and acting like a total jerk. You know, how spiritual am I really? So, I like this too about just lay out the kit of spiritual tools. Like, hey, you know, this is what I've been doing, and this is what I experienced. And it helps me to remember, as I've heard other people say, that it's not me that makes another person to recover or not recover. It's between them and their higher power. There's nothing I can say that will make them get into recovery if they're not ready today. And there's nothing I can do that can mess up their recovery if they are going to recover today. So that takes a lot of the pressure off. I can just suit up and show up, be of support and service, offer them friendship and fellowship. I love what they said in this about that. And I'll do anything to help because it helps me stay in recovery too. With that, it will pass.
Thank you so much, Betsy H. from California. Okay, who would like to start the next group? We have time. Star 1 to unmute. I'm sorry, I was talking.
Natalie.
Rocky, hi.
Is it Natalie first?
That's my name, Natalie S., yep.
That's good. That's a good name, Natalie S., and then there was somebody behind you.
Rocky, hi.
Oh, I missed it. What is it?
Rocky in Tempe.
Oh, Rocky. Rocky. What's your first initial of your last name, Rocky?
I.
Okay. Anybody else? We can take one more. Let's go with these two, and then we'll see the time. Okay, Natalie S., where are you from?
Hi there. This is Natalie S., and I am calling from Arizona, and I'm a compulsive overeater. And as I was listening to all the shares on this part, I find it so interesting because a couple of quick sayings came to mind. The first one that I learned a long time ago from just a friend out of program, it was in the work environment, and he said, you know, people never really care how much you know until they know how much you care. And I think that this relates to that. And as I look at my life as an addict, I was very sensitive, and I had been I felt like I had been beaten up and accused and ridiculed and told what to do, and it wasn't working and nobody understood and all this. And that's I think how sponsees, you know, if I can remember that they come into a program like this, like that, like I was, and that like I can get at moments in time now even. And so I think the biggest challenge around all the debating and all of that is just to not let our passion for what has happened to us override our compassion for the place that the addict is in. Because if we forget the compassionate side and the human side, then we neglect the relationship. We cannot build that bridge to their heart and give them the safety they need to really open up. So that's what was on my mind, and with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Wow, thank you so much for sharing that, Natalie S. from Arizona. Now we have Rocky I. Please go ahead, Rocky.
Hello, good morning. Love all the shares. What caught my eye was attraction, not promotion. And man, I remember when I started, I was so zealous, you know, like I wanted everybody and their mother to get 12 steps, and well, it didn't work. And it was until I stopped talking that the people that I wanted it to come around did come around. And so it worked. So that's all I have to share. Thank you for letting me share. I love you.
Rocky, where are you from? Did you run? Okay. Let's see. We have about 3 minutes left. Who would like to take that?
Mm-hmm. I will. This is Kathy Jo P.
Kathy Jo P. Okay, I think we may have more than that, but go ahead, Kathy Jo P. Where are you from?
I'm Kathy Jo P. I'm in Minneapolis, Minnesota, Central Time.
Yeah, okay. Please go ahead. Your turn.
Yeah, and I'm thinking about what one of our friends says frequently, and that is that honesty without compassion is cruel,
mm-hmm.
and compassion without honesty kills. And I am, you know, I believe we want to be honest and help people with compassion, and to keep in mind that we do not hold people's hands while they eat. We do not encourage people to stay in resentment and anger. And I love the share we heard earlier, how do I know, because I've done it too. And I'm so grateful to the people in this program that continue to help me live rather than die. And yeah, that's with compassion and reminding me that I'm a child of God and that I can have a way out. So, you know, it's not sugarcoating the message, but it's also not cramming it down the throat of those that are not willing to grab hold of this work and these steps and do it like our hair is on fire. So I'm just grateful to the people that helped me along the way, and I'm remembering my sponsor when I was doing a 10-step mad at my brother who was not treating me special after my open heart surgery, and she told me my job for the year was to treat my brother special. So you know, I want to get out of this disease and stay out of this disease a day at a time. So this is not a simple text, and I'm really happy we are unpacking it, and we get to do that even more so as we connect with each other. And I'll pass with that. Thank you.
And thank you so much, Kathy Jo P., and she lives in Minnesota. I think I'm going to stop here and can you hear me? We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164. It's going to be followed by the Serenity Prayer. So now will Sherry Z. please read from the Vision for You, a book is meant to be suggestive only. Please go ahead, Sherry.
Good morning, visionaries. I'm Sherry Z., recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. And this is page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you in